come up with great skill from him to wing the Mo Salah. Raheem Sterling, what a finish! What pure class from the Englishman.
Premier Talk, the English Premier League podcast for the fans.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Premier Talk, episode 5, Trouble in Paradise. I'm your host, Andrew Mello, and alongside with me, as always, is Daniel Barbudo. Daniel, how's it going?
I'm doing great, Andrew. It's a beautiful day outside, and I can't wait to start this podcast.
You know, we got a busy episode today. We want to switch things up. You know, we're getting to, you know, almost like a quarter of the season being done. It's match day 8 already. We wanted to switch it up for you guys. We wanted to do a quiz today. We're going to call it the Premier Talk Test. I'll be the host later on in the show. And then Daniel's going to have to answer some questions. So it's going to be interesting. We got a busy episode ahead of us today. So we're going to start off with the starting lineup. Match day 8 recap.
We got a new segment, overrated or underrated.
We got a Premier Talk Test.
And as always, we have a Europa League recap.
So we could start off here with match day 8 recap. Daniel, Friday, November 6th. You know, give them a rundown of the Brighton and Burnley match there.
So we have a Brighton and Burnley match. These are both two relegation sides. Both need the 3 points in this one, but the game ended up drawing it 0-0. So both came out with 1 point. Overall, it's not that bad considering that they're both in relegation. But like I said, like they both really needed the 3 points to kick them out of relegation, because right now it's not looking good for either team.
Yeah, we also had the Southampton and Newcastle game. Southampton won that one 2-0 against Newcastle. Southampton have been impressive late, Daniel. Goals from Charlie Adams in the 7th and Stuart Armstrong in the 82nd. Southampton, with that win, jump up to 4th in the table. And, Daniel, they're just on fantastic form. They got a win against Everton a couple weeks ago, and they just look convincing of late. And for them to be, 4th place in the table is really impressive. And, after 8 matches, who would have thought that they'd be in this position?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree with you. I don't think many people thought they'd be this high up on the table. Even with Danny Ings being injured right now and Charlie Adams stepping up as their number 9 and scoring some goals of late, it's been good to see from a Southampton standpoint. We're going to move on to Saturday, November 7th. There was 4 games. The first game that happened was Manchester United versus Everton. I absolutely love this outcome for Manchester United. They won the game 3-1. And it's a huge win for Ole's side. As a Manchester United fan, you love to see them winning. And Ole right now, he doesn't lose whenever his job's on the line, because right now, before this game, they were sitting in 15th, and they needed the 3 points very badly. And he came out and he absolutely tore apart this Everton side. Bruno Fernandes had 2 goals and an assist, and Cavani scored his debut goal late in injury time. But overall, it was just a fantastic game from Manchester United.
Yeah, in my opinion, this matchup was a must-win for both sides. You know, Everton, they now have 3 straight losses after this one against United. United has been struggling of late too. We mentioned this prior in our previous episodes, and for them to come out and beat an Everton side that's been good to start the season 3-1, it's absolutely huge. And it's absolutely huge for Ole and to keep his job. And, there's some pressure on him right now. He's in the hot seat because, they need to perform and they need to do better of late.
Yeah, no, hopefully they can start getting on the win column, because they're still in the lower half of the table and they really need to pick up their stuff so that they can start jumping teams and start making the way for the top 4 and hopefully even like contend for the title. I know right now it doesn't seem possible, but with everything going on in the world right now, anything can happen. Players get injured. Players have to quarantine for 14 days, and that can really affect a bunch of teams. Hopefully, they can start getting some wins.
Yeah, you're right. It's a very long season, and it's very unpredictable right now in terms of like who's going to be in the starting lineup week in, week out due to COVID and injuries. We've seen the injury bug hit a lot of teams this year, so anything's possible this year. I really believe that out of all years, a lower tier side could take the Premier League by storm. So it's definitely an interesting situation. It's definitely keeping a lot of Premier League fans on their toes. We're gonna go to the Crystal Palace and Leeds match there. My dark horse, man. They're not doing too well, man, of late. I still have my confidence in them, though. They're a solid side. They lost this one, unfortunately, to Palace 4-1. Palace are a weird team, man. They're streaky at times, and then times they look so poor. It's just weird. It's a weird side that Hodgson has there. He's got some some great players with, you know, Zaha, the likes of Zaha, a class player, former Manchester United man. And, you know, this ultimately was a huge win for Palace against a tough, tough Leeds side. It, you know, it bumps them up to eighth place in the table. And they just got to keep continuing on this form. They need to find their consistency, because I think that's what they struggle with most. You know, they beat your United the first mm-hmm. week out, and they have to be more consistent. That's what I think their biggest issue is.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. It's just like you said, they go out and they beat United, and United at the beginning, that was the first game of the year, and United looked like coming into the year that they would be title contenders. Maybe not title contenders, they'll be up there in the title race. But
definitely top five.
Yeah, definitely top five. So if Crystal Palace to come out and beat them in the first game. And now they're looking like they're on a pretty good run of form of late. They're in eighth place right now, and as some Crystal Palace fans probably wouldn't have thought that they'd be this high in the table, especially pretty early in the season.
Yeah, we're gonna, you know, transition to another London based club playing. You know, Chelsea, my team, the Blues. Didn't get to watch this one. Saw the highlights though. You know, Chelsea won this one pretty convincingly. They won this one 4-1 against Sheffield. You know, three of Chelsea's four goals came from new signings. Chilwell got a goal. Thiago Silva got his debut goal, and Werner all scored in this match. And Ziyech, you know, he's been providing assists of late. We've seen him in the UCL against Krasnodar, your team.
Krasnodar.
He's just, you know, providing a lot of assists, and he's been creating a lot of chances for that attacking trio. So, you know, another two assists for in this game, and Chelsea just continue on their good form of late. And, you know, they had a little low point there a couple of weeks ago, and they look to be, you know, a convincing side now and a difficult side to play against.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, Chelsea, they're on great form right now. They're high up there in the table. They're currently sitting in fifth, which is right now is a Europa League spot. But if I'm Chelsea fans right now, I'm loving this. All these new signings that are coming in, like you said, Chilwell, Thiago Silva, Werner all scored. You got Zia coming out with two assists. So those are four of your starting 11. They're going and they're getting on the game sheet. If I'm Chelsea, this is something I'm very excited for weeks to come and maybe even years to come, because they're signing world-class players, and they're doing it right from a standpoint of a Premier League team. And I hope for your sake and for all Chelsea fans that they can continue this form and challenge top three.
Yeah, you know, I really want to see Chelsea, you know, finish within the top two. I think they can this year with the changes that they've made. And you see that they're starting to gain some real chemistry there. When you get a lot of new players in your roster, it's hard to, you know, have them gel. And I think that was their struggle at the start of the season. Finally, Ziyech, you know, one of their best signings, in my opinion, I think the best signing this offseason. He's finally healthy and he's finally getting his run of form. And he's so dynamic as an attacking midfielder or as a right-handed or right-sided player, you know, and I think that's what they missed. And I think they're going to continue to win games in this fashion against lower tier sides like Sheffield. And Sheffield, you know, for me, they look like they might be fighting for relegation this year. They've been struggling of late.
Yeah, quick question for you. I know you had said that Ziyech is probably one of your favorite signings this year. Do you say he's your favorite signing because you think he'll do better than Werner, or because he's a better player, or price tag, or just like everything combined with what he can offer Chelsea compared to what Werner can offer?
You know, that's a great question, Daniel. The thing for me is, you know, you know what you're going to get from Werner. He's going to be a striker that's going to get you goals. You know, that's expected of him. And I think, you know, Werner was an amazing top signing. But I think Chelsea, what they lacked in that midfield was some creativity. You know, you had Conte, and he's not there to you know, create plays. He's there to win the ball and then dish it off. And, you know, they had Mateo Kovacic, and he's not necessarily like that attacking spark, that attacking midfielder spark. And I think in this game, in today's game, it's so hard to come by a nice attacking midfielder. And you know, they had Mason Mount, but he's not there yet. He's not ready yet. And he's not at the level of Ziyech. And I think, you know, guys like De Bruyne, they're very hard to come by, elite attacking midfielders. And I think Ziyech is definitely up there with De Bruyne. And I think, you know, Chelsea did very well, extremely well, to get a player of his caliber, because he's going to create a lot of goals. And you know, it's been evident of late that he's, you know, when you have a world-class striker and you have a world-class attacking midfielder, there's going to be a lot of goals within that partnership. And I think that's something that Chelsea's beginning to formulate.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think that Ziyech was definitely a fantastic signing, somebody to help them out in the creative aspect of the midfield. And hopefully it pans out. We're going to move on to West Ham versus Fulham. West Ham came out on top of this one, 1-0. Thomas Souček, he scored an injury time for West Ham to win this game. It was definitely a big win for West Ham because they needed some spacing between them and relegation. But Fulham is still not looking great. They're sitting right now in 17th, just outside of relegation. And if they continue to keep losing games and not scoring very many goals, it's not going to look very, very good for them. One thing in this game, Fulham striker Adamola Lookman, he had a very late penalty in injury time. And like, I believe it came in like the 92nd. And he went, and as a player, I know you can be it's very nerve-wracking taking penalties. I just, like, for me, he comes out, he tries to Panenka the goalkeeper. The goalie just read it, and he literally just, like, moved over and caught the ball. And for me, it made him look kind of stupid in a sense because, like, you're down 1-0. I understand you're nervous. It's very nervous taking a penalty. But it's just not a very good look for him. For me, if you're a striker, you're down late, you go and you just, like most world-class players when they're taking penalties, they either wait for the goalie to make the first move or they just smash the ball into a corner because the goalie, if you hit it hard enough, the goalie really has no chance of getting there if it's placed into a corner and it's with a good amount of pace. So for me, I don't know. It's just not a very good look for him.
Yeah, I don't know. Adamola Lookman, he's a class player. He's, you know, I think he has a lot of potential, loads of potential. You know, formerly of Everton, belongs to Leipzig now. They have his rights and he's loaned back into the Premier League because he hasn't been getting his minutes there. And, you know, he was given the chance to take the penalty and I was like, wow, they're going to give this guy the penalty. And, you know, he stepped up to the spot and he just, you know, he made a mess of it. He made a mess of a great opportunity, you know, vital points. For Fulham, they were definitely in this game throughout the course of the 90 minutes. And, you know, 97th minute, it dragged on a bit there and he had the opportunity to bury a penalty. And I think it shows, you know, a lack of experience. And I think the manager could have picked someone with more experience to take the penalty. And, you know, he bottled it. He bottled the penalty and it was an absolute waste of a chance and waste of an opportunity. And, you know, he should have been, I don't know. It always looks good when a player does a Panenka and it goes in and they're like, oh, good on the player. What, you know, mm-hmm. what class? And then when they bottle it, we're here talking about it saying, you know, what an idiot. And yeah. That's the case for Lookman this week and points are dropped and it doesn't look good for Fulham right now.
Yeah, I like how you said the points are dropped because this point, as much as it may seem, it's just, okay, he missed a penalty. It's literally just one point that they're dropping because it would have most likely have tied the game coming so late. It's a very valuable dropped point for Fulham, especially being where they are right now on the table, because they really need to space themselves out from relegation. And when you're going and you're dropping points like that, it's just not a very good look. So we're going to move on to Sunday, November 8th. There was four games on Sunday. The first game we're going to talk about is West Brom versus Tottenham. Tottenham came out on top with this one with a 1-0 win. Kane scored really late in the game in the 88th minute to seal the win for Tottenham. And this win moved them all the way up to second in the Premier League. So Tottenham being of great form, only with the one loss throughout the entire Premier League season so far, they're looking like the team to beat right now.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you. Tottenham look good of late. They've been super consistent in the Premier League, not in the Europa League. You know, we'd mentioned them losing to Antwerp there. Just an off day for them. Kane has been very good and Heung-Min Son has been good as well. So definitely have to give them the respect. The Mourinho's men are taking it very seriously and, you know, they're second in the Premier League right now.
Yeah, it's a very good look for Tottenham as of late. The next game on Sunday was Leicester versus Wolves. Leicester came out on top.
AKA Portugal FC, yeah.
AKA Portugal. Leicester came out on top of this one, 1-0. Vardy scored a penalty in the 15th minute. And then he went and he missed a penalty in the 39th minute. So Leicester had two penalties in this one and they could have made it 2-0. But they didn't, but they still ended up coming on top to win this one 1-0. And with this win, it actually puts Leicester above Tottenham, leaving Leicester first in the Premier League and Tottenham second. So Leicester, great form right now, 6-0-2 in the table. And do you think that they can keep this up and maintain this spot?
I don't know. Leicester fans right now are probably like screaming, stop the count. You know, they want to be crowned champions right now. I don't know, man. Leicester has a good team. You know, they have some decent players. You know, Yuri Tillemans is a good one to mention. You know, Wilfred Ndidi. You know, obviously Jamie Vardy's, you know, their centerpiece of their team. You know, an experienced goalie with Kasper Schmeichel. It's hard to say. You know, we're so early on. Anything can happen, as we mentioned. I definitely think that they'll finish top six. I don't know if they're going to contend for the, you know, the one spot there.
I put this as my dark horse, and it may not be a dark horse pick essentially, but it is somebody that I think can definitely rival at least top six. If not, for me right now, if they keep this form, they can rival easily top four, because, you know, Manchester City, Liverpool, when they go out to play those teams, it's going to be a very tough opponents to play against. And if they can pull some wins out of those two games, I feel like they'll definitely do well.
We're going to move on to Manchester City and Liverpool. That was the biggest match this weekend by far. It ended in a 1-1 draw. Salah scored a penalty in the 13th minute. Gabriel Jesus, he equalized in the 31st, off a great turn. And then De Bruyne, everyone's, making fun of De Bruyne for this missed penalty, this missed opportunity. It happens to the best of them. And like Adamola, like everyone's always happy when they score. But the minute, someone misses, they're the bad guy. And, I don't think it's fair on De Bruyne, but, it happens to the best players. And that could have been the go-ahead goal. And it was another bad day for Liverpool. Not even the result, a 1-1 draw against City is not a bad result. The bad result was that, Trent Alexander-Arnold, he picked up a calf injury. Daniel, just highlight some of their struggles. And, we just got word today in the news that Joe Gomez picked up an injury. So why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about Liverpool's struggles right now?
Yeah, so this is why we had titled the episode Trouble in Paradise, because it looks like it's Trouble in Paradise right now for Liverpool. They have such a fantastic team, and they're hoping that they can win the Premier League basically this year. I think that's what they're striving towards. And now Trent Alexander-Arnold picked up a calf injury. He's out for 3 to 4 weeks. Joe Gomez, like Andrew said, we heard today that Joe Gomez picked up a bad knee injury while training with the English national team. And it was a non-contact injury too, which is always scary, because that means he probably tore something, ripped something, and it was a tendon in his knee. And what had happened is he had surgery this morning, and with that surgery now being done, they said he's expected to miss a very good portion of the season, most likely. With Van Dijk already being out, your other starting center back, and Fabinho being out with an injury as well, who sometimes fills in for the role of a center back, it's big trouble for Liverpool, because you have Robertson and Matip. And Matip's been playing of late because of the Van Dijk injury, but now Joe Gomez missing. I don't know, it's just not a very good look for Liverpool right now. And they're going to have to do some, I think they're going to have to buy somebody in January, because without that, they won't rival top two or top three.
Daniel, I think they're going to have to go and buy someone this transfer window, in January, because they have no options at the back, and Fabinho's been injured. He hasn't been able to stay healthy of late. And, with Joe Gomez being announced now, it's only Joel Matip there. They're rotating some academy guys and some younger guys, and I don't think that's going to cut it. And, with Joe Gomez being out for more than half of the season, and, Van Dijk being done for the rest of the season, I don't think Liverpool will contend even for a Champions League spot. That's how bad I think the situation is for them. And Trent, you said, is going to be out for 3 to 4 weeks. That's a huge blow too. I don't think they're going to make, I don't think they have it in them with the amount of games that they're going to play, including Champions League fixtures, to, contend for a Champions League spot. I think they're going to drop out, and they might end up finishing in sixth place this year.
We even said, we had mentioned before that Alaba was on the market, and when Van Dijk got injured, they really needed him to, they really needed to pick him up in January. And now with Joe Gomez being injured, they probably need to sign maybe even two center backs, and they need to sign somebody that knows what they're doing. I wouldn't really look at younger players here, because they're going to be thrown right into the Premier League. They're going to be playing almost every single week because of the injuries that that Liverpool faces right now. And I hope that they can go and pick up somebody.
We're going to go on to the last game. It was Arsenal against Aston Villa. Who would have thought, we had Paka in here last week, he's talking high and mighty about his Arsenal. And then this week, man, they look terrible. 3-0 loss to Villa. Villa, it was a huge win for them. Just the 3 points was enough, but to go and win 3-0 was huge. They really needed a win here too, because they've been struggling of late. Lost their last couple of games. They lost last week out against Southampton. So it was a huge win for them. And Bukayo Saka, he had an own goal in the 25th minute, and two quick goals from Ollie Watkins in the 72nd and 75th, secured the victory. And for Arsenal, it looks like they need to go back to the drawing board and they need to fix some things defensively. I think Arteta is going to be very upset about this one. I think a lot of Arsenal fans are going to be upset about this one, because a club of your stature, you can't be losing 3-0 to Aston Villa. I don't care how good Aston Villa is playing, how they started the season. You just can't lose to Aston Villa and lose in this fashion. It's embarrassing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's completely embarrassing, especially Arsenal. They're coming. They're on such a high right now, beating Manchester United last week. And like you said, Pa coming in here and he's bantering Manchester United. And then the next week they go on and they get killed by Aston Villa. It's not a good look for them. And one thing that I wanted to point out is Aston Villa's goalkeeper right now, Emiliano Martinez, is the ex Arsenal goalkeeper. When Leno had gotten injured last year, he played for them and he was phenomenal for me. And then he went and they traded him this year they sent him off to Aston Villa. A quote that he had said, I don't know if this came out of frustration, leaving a big club like Arsenal to go play for Aston Villa, but he said that this was going to be a step up in his career and that Aston Villa was a better team for him than Arsenal will ever be. And when he said that, everyone's like, oh my God, what is this guy saying? And then they go out now, he's playing in net, he's starting for Aston Villa week in, week out, doing a fantastic job. And then his team goes and they beat Arsenal 3-0, and he keeps a clean sheet in the win too. So I don't know. Arsenal fans, it's not looking very good for you right now. And Aston Villa, hopefully they can keep up this form and continue to play fantastic and stay in the upper half of the table.
We're going to go on to the table recap now after 8 match days. You know, Leicester City, we already mentioned this, and Tottenham, they topped the table. Leicester 1, Tottenham 2. Liverpool stood up there in third, but I think with Joe Gomez being out now, you know, they're going to drop to probably 6th. I don't think they're going to be able to do it defensively week in, week out, especially with the number of games. So I think they're going to drop eventually. Southampton 4. We got Chelsea in 5 and Villa just in 6. Everton, they dropped out a bit. They're in 7th. You know, mid-table, we still have City and Arsenal at 10 and 11. Manchester United, they're in 14th, but, you know, a win could boost them all the way up to 7th. You know, it's very close there, Daniel, between the, you know, 15, so Leeds at 15, all the way up to Aston Villa at 6th. You know, a win could propel them just under Aston Villa. So it's very intense, the race this year. And, you know, you can't call it right now. You don't know who's going to win the league. It's mm-hmm. It's just like that this year.
Yeah, because there's even a couple of teams that still have a game in hand. Like Aston Villa's played 7, Manchester City's played 7, Manchester United's played 7, and Burnley's played 7. So with wins, they can be hopping a bunch of teams because Aston Villa is sitting right now in 6, and with a win, they can hop up all the way to 1st. And then Manchester City sitting in 10th with 12 points, and a win there can hop them up to 5th. Like, they're just teams that still have a game in hand can really hop a bunch of teams, especially in the middle of the table because of how close it is. And if you're those teams like Aston Villa, City, United, and Burnley, you need to come out and you need to get a win this week to start jumping some teams, because if you look at it from Manchester City, Manchester United standpoint, they're expected to be up there in the top of the table, and right now sitting in 10th and 14th, it's not a good look for them. And then even Burnley sitting in relegation, they desperately need the 3 points so they can jump out to 17th and jump out of relegation.
Yeah, Sheffield too, they're still winless. Sheffield, Burnley, and West Brom all winless. You know, West Brom has 3 points due to, you know, tying 3 games. But those teams, they need to find a way to win. And, you know, I just don't think they have the caliber of players good enough for the Premier League. You know, we mentioned Brighton earlier possibly being there, but they've managed to get a win and, you know, some decent draws. But Sheffield, man, they're just struggling to score goals. Their goal difference right now is absolutely terrible. It's negative 10. You know, I don't think Sheffield is going to be able to cut it. It's sad to see them in this terrible run of form. But I think last year was a one-hit season, and I don't think they're going to be able to survive this year in the Premier League.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. It is sad to see from a Sheffield United perspective, because they went and they finished in the upper half of the table. I believe they finished like 7th or 8th last year. And you're expecting them to come out this year and do the same. They were going and they were beating some top teams. And then you look at them now, they're 8 games in without a win. They have their goal differential is minus 10. They only have 4 goals throughout the entire year in 8 games. It's not something that many Sheffield fans expected to see, especially coming off of last year's, I would say, basically it's a victory for Sheffield finishing that high up in the table. So You weren't, I think, as a Sheffield fan, you weren't really expecting this.
Daniel, are you ready for the Premier Talk test?
Am I?
I don't know. Did you study?
I don't think I did, but I'm hoping that I can get at least 7 out of 10. It's going to be 10 questions. I'm hoping I can get at least 7.
So I got 10 questions together. Some of them are pretty good, actually. Some of them are just open-ended. You have to give an answer. And some of them, you know, I got an ABC going for you. They're a little bit more difficult. So I got ABC there. I might help you out here. You have to get 3 wrong. If you get 3 wrong, I win. If you get 7 okay. right, I lose. We'll go into it right here. Question number 1. Who has the second most goals in Premier League history with 208 goals scored? Open-ended question. We know number one is Alan Shearer.
Alan Shearer, yep. I know Rooney's up there. I want to say Rooney. Yeah, I'm going to go with Rooney as second.
Ding, ding, ding. Rooney is correct. Okay, we're going to go to question number 2. Which Premier League club has the second most titles from 1889 to today's day, 2020? Who has the second most titles?
I know Manchester United has the most.
Mm-hmm.
Second most. I'm going to say Liverpool.
Correct. That's two right for Daniel. We're going to go to question 3. This one's a little bit harder. This is an ABC. Who has scored the fastest Premier League goal ever at 7.69 seconds? So we got A, Shane Long, B, Peter Crouch, or C, Troy Deeney?
We got Peter Crouch, Shane Long,
and Troy Deeney.
I don't think Troy Deeney did it. For some reason, as soon as you said Shane Long, that stuck out to me. So I'm going to go with Shane Long.
Shane Long's correct. 7.69 seconds. He did it when he played for Southampton. So that's 3 right. 3 for 3, Daniel. You're doing pretty good so far. We're going to go to number 4. Question number 4. Who has the most Premier League appearances? This is an ABC as well. So we got A, Alan Shearer, B, Gareth Barry, or C, John Terry.
I want to go with John. I think it's John. No, it's John Terry. I don't think it's Barry, which leaves Shearer and Terry. Terry played for both of them played for a long time. Newcastle and Chelsea. Oh, God.
We go 4 for 4.
I'm going to go with John Terry.
It's Gareth Barry.
Really?
Oh, yeah, man. He had 653 appearances in the Premier League. He played for West Brom. He played for Manchester City, and he also played for Everton. So you're 3 for 4, Daniel, right now. We're going to go to question number 5 here. Who has the most clean sheets in Premier League history? Which goalie has the most clean sheets in Premier League history with 202 clean sheets? I got ABC for you. A, Schmeichel. OG Schmeichel, not Casper.
Not Casper.
Peter. And then B, I got Petr Cech. And then I got C, Van der Sar, the Manchester United man there.
Oh, 3 fantastic goalies. I don't think it's Petr Cech. I don't think it's Petr Cech.
You don't think it's Petr Cech?
No. I think it is. It has to be either Schmeichel or Van der Sar. Van der Sar United, that team was incredible. I'm going to go with Schmeichel.
Oh. It's not Schmeichel. It's Petr Cech. Petr Cech had 202 clean sheets throughout the course of his Premier League career with Arsenal and, you know, Chelsea. You have 2 wrong so far. You know, you can only afford to get 1 more wrong or else, you know, I win. So we're on question number 6 here now. You know, Manchester United has won the most Premier League titles with 13. Who has the second most Premier League titles?
I think it has to be a top 5 team. So you're looking at not Tottenham because they won a trophy in forever. Liverpool won one in the last 3
I'm going to give
years.
You a countdown here. 10 seconds to guess.
I'm going to go with Chelsea.
Chelsea, you're locking in Chelsea?
Yeah, I'm locking in Chelsea.
You're right with Chelsea. Chelsea has second most on the list. So now you're 4 for 6, Daniel. We're going to move on to question 7. Who scored the fastest Premier League hat trick? A, Michu, the former Swansea man. Mm-hmm. You know, streets will never forget Michu. And then we have B, Sadio Mane, and C, Aguero. Who scored the fastest Premier League hat-trick ever?
Okay, so here's my logic right now. I know Mane and Aguero, plenty of goals they've scored. You would not put Michu in this if he wasn't the one that went and scored because you're comparing it to Sadio Mane and Aguero. So I'm going to go Michu, lock in Michu.
I put that one in there to trip you up on purpose. The answer, the right answer was B, Sadio Mane.
Was it when he was on Southampton, or was it?
It was when he was on Southampton. Correct. So now you are 4-7. You cannot get anything else wrong. Okay, we're going to go on to question 8. This one's a little bit easier. I'm going to give you 20 seconds to answer it because you could figure it out in that 20 seconds.
Okay.
So the question is, question number 8. How many London-based clubs currently play in the Premier League?
1, 2, 3, 4.
You're locking in 4, you sure? I'm giving you 10 more seconds to figure it out. 10. Don't look at the table. No cheating.
I'm not cheating. Locking in 3.
3, you're sure?
Yep.
All right, wrong. The correct answer was 6. There's currently 6 teams that are based in London. The 6 teams are Fulham, West Ham, Arsenal, Crystal Palace, Chelsea, and Tottenham. 6 teams currently feature London-based clubs feature in the Premier League. So, yeah, Daniel, okay, so with that, you lose. But, you know, we'll do the rest for fun. You know, I take this one. Next week out, you'll be the quiz master or the Premier Talk test master, and I'll be, you know.
I'll try to trick you with some questions.
Yeah, try to trip me up. I had some good questions here, though. But we're going to go to the next one, question number 9. How many Portuguese players are currently on the Wolves roster?
18.
I'll give you – it's an ABC. It's an ABC. I got A, 8, B, 6, and C, 9.
Okay, I know for sure that they have more than 6, which leaves 8 or 9. I'm going to go with 9 just because, like, the amount of times that we call Wolves Portuguese national team, they have to have at least 9 guys. Come on.
The correct answer to the question was 8. I'll list them off for you. You got Fabio Silva, new signing. You got Neto, new signing. You got Vitinha, new signing. We have Podence, Moutinho, Ruben Neves, Semedo, and Patricio. That brings you to 8. There's a total of 8 Portuguese players on Wolves right now. Mm-hmm. Okay, this one's a Manchester United-related question. This is a good one, too. This question I came up with myself, it is, Van Dijk ranks 4th most expensive in Premier League history at a price of £75 million. 3 Manchester United players, past or present, rank higher than him on the list. Who are they?
Van Dijk. Pogba.
Okay.
Oh God, Harry Maguire.
Harry Maguire, and who's the last one?
I forgot that that guy was worth £80 million.
And who's the last one?
Disgusting. Oh my God. No, that's not Martial. They bought for
okay, 6. I'm giving you 10 seconds. 10 seconds. 10. 8, 6.
He doesn't play on United.
4, 3, 2, 1. It was Lukaku, Romelu Lukaku. £75 million. They bought him.
Never have gotten that.
He's Everton's all-time leading goal scorer. He's a beast. Plays for Inter right now. Daniel, I thought you'd do better, man. Some of the questions are hard. I'll give you that. Some of the questions are hard, but you started strong, and then you just tapered off. You fell off, man.
Well, on that note, we're going to move on to our another very new segment for you guys. This segment is called Overrated or Underrated. We're going to name 10 Premier League 10 Premier League players, and we're going to, between the two of us, we're going to state if we think that they're underrated or overrated. So the first player we're going to feature here is Danny Ings, the Southampton striker. Andrew, do you think he's underrated or overrated?
Underrated. He's a beast. No, he's a beast. He's too good for Southampton, in my opinion. You know, Southampton's having a good season, but he's too good for their standards. You know, he's injured this week. But, you know, I was looking at his stats. He's got 48 goals in the Premier League and 118 appearances. That's not too bad in my books. 0.41 goals per match. So he's almost scoring, you know, a goal every other game. It's not too bad for a striker, and especially on a team like Southampton. That's a pretty good stat to have. And, you know, he's good with his left and right foot. He's got 27 goals with his right and, you know, 13 with his left. I think he's an underrated player in my books.
Yeah, I have to agree with you here. I do think Danny Ings is an underrated player. He was one of the top goal scorers last year with, I believe he had over 20 goals last year, which was only like 2 or 3 off of the Golden Boot race in the Premier League. So, yeah, for me, I agree with you. I think he's underrated.
Number 2 we got on the list here, Wilfred Ndidi. I put him on the list because I think he's underrated. Daniel, what do you think?
Yeah, again, I agree with you. I believe he's very underrated. He's a very integral part of that Leicester side, especially playing as a CDM. And he's one of those lockdown guys where He's very good defensively. He's good with his feet. He can pass the ball well. And for me, I think he's a little bit underrated.
Honestly, every team, you know, needs a player like Ndidi. He's just, you know, a class center defending mid. He's not going to get you goals. He's not going to, you know, put up a bunch of assists. You know, his stats are more low-key stats like winning, collecting balls and making, you know, key tackles in the midfield and, you know, securing that back line. You know, I think he's underrated in my books.
So the next player we're going to feature here is Aston Villa player Ollie Watkins. I think that he's a little underrated. I'll get more into that. First, I want to hear your opinion. Do you think he's underrated overall?
Ollie, I think there's a little bit of hype around him right now. He got a hat trick. You know, I was talking good about him. I said he was a good player. I'm going to have to say he's overrated. I think there's a little bit too much hype around him right now. I think he needs to solidify himself more in the Premier League. He's only played a handful of matches for Aston Villa in the Premier League. You know, he's just signed from Brentford in the offseason. So, yeah, for now, he's overrated for me.
So I did say underrated. I understand where you're coming from. I was going to say the same thing. I wouldn't say he's extremely underrated. He's slightly underrated just because of the form he's in right now. But at the end of the season, like, you can look at what he's done for Aston Villa, and he could be overrated at the end of the season. So that's just one you'll have to wait to find out a little bit.
Yeah, next we have number four, Jordan Pickford. I had to put him in here because I just wanted to say how overrated he is. I think he's a terrible goalkeeper. I think he's so overrated. You know, there's so much British hype around him. You know, with British players, there's always this false British hype, but a lot of times, and guys are talked better than what they actually can, you know, do on the pitch. And I think there's been so many times when Jordan Pickford has been terrible in goal for Everton, and he's cost them points, and also in the national team as well. He's a short goalie. I have nothing against short goalies. You know, I think they could just do just as good of a job, but he doesn't cut it sometimes, and he makes terrible decisions, and we've seen that already this year. And for me, he's so overrated.
I agree with you based on the overrated aspect. I don't think he's incredibly underrated like you think, but I do think he's a little bit overrated. For Everton, he's not the greatest. I think when at the last Euro Cup, he was really good for England. Like, I think he was one of the goalies of the tournament because he had a fantastic showing, and that had boosted his rating and how well that Everton thought that he would be. But yeah, for me, he is slightly overrated still. And although he's not a bad goalkeeper, they have him a little bit overrated right now. The next person I'm gonna move on to is Andrew's probably favorite player in the Premier League, Raul Jimenez. Andrew, I'll ask you first because it's one of your favorite players. Do you think he is underrated or overrated?
Bro, my boy's underrated. He's super underrated. He's such a good player, man. He's such a class number nine. I think, in my opinion, honestly, he's definitely top five striker in the Premier League. You know, I can only name a couple of better strikers than him. He's just a class striker. He's a tall striker. He's able to hold the ball very well. It works very well in that five back system for Wolves. And you know, he's got 0.4 goal rating per game. So he scores on, like, similar to Danny Ings. He scores almost a goal every other game. And he's got 34 goals in 84 appearances. It's not too bad. And you know, he's just a beast. He's a big target, and he's a beast.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think he's underrated. He is a fantastic striker. He can shoot with both left, right. He's a tall guy. He can head out of the ball. He has everything that you would want from a number nine. So for me, he's underrated as well.
We're going to go number six, Roberto Firmino. We talked about him last week in that Liverpool segment we had. Daniel, underrated or overrated?
For me, he's overrated. I believe he gets a lot of Liverpool hype because if you look at what he does in the game, he's a false nine. He doesn't really score as many goals or assist as many goals. He's just one of those guys that they can play through to pass the ball to Mane and Salah. But I think it's just the hype around him, and I don't think he's a huge player for Liverpool. I do believe he's a pretty integral player for Liverpool, but I think he's a little bit overrated.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you there, Daniel. I think he's super overrated. You know, a lot of Liverpool hype around him, you know. He's had some great games, don't get me wrong, you know. And I think he fits perfectly in that Liverpool system as a false nine to feed two very, very talented wingers in Mane and Salah. But I think he's very overrated. Doesn't score enough goals. Doesn't really get many assists either. So I'm going to have to go with overrated there.
Our next player on this list is Paul Pogba, my midfielder. I'm gonna ask you first before I get into a little bit about this, but do you think he is underrated or overrated?
Man, I actually really like Pauly P. Pogba's a beast, but I'm gonna have to say he's a bit overrated, man. You know, people like how hype of a player he is. They like his style. They like his flair on the pitch. But I think he is overrated because at times he's lazy on the pitch. He doesn't do enough and he seems non-existent. And then he has these brilliant moments where he's skilling players and, you know, creating some great goal scoring opportunities and he bags some goals himself. But inconsistent is the key word with Pogba, the key association there. So I'm going to have to say he's a bit overrated.
I like that you said inconsistent because for me, he's one of those players that he could flourish and he can do amazing things in the Premier League. You see when he goes to play for France, he is like one of their best midfielders.
He seems like a different player almost, yeah.
It is. It's weird because he seems like two different people on France. He's absolutely unbelievable. Everybody wants to come out and watch Pogba. And then when you go to United, he starts games. Sometimes he comes off the bench. I feel like overall, this is a really tough one for me. I'm gonna kind of stay on the fence here. I'm gonna say he's perfect because I think for what he shows for France and then what he shows for United, like he's in the perfect. I think his rating right now is perfect, and I don't know if he could. I believe he could definitely improve his game, especially in the Premier League. I don't know if that comes with confidence, starting game in and game out, and kind of just like gaining some chemistry with some other players on the field, especially because he doesn't start as much. But I'm going to stay on the fence and say that this is a pretty perfect rating for Pogba.
Next, we got number 8, Emiliano Martinez. You were talking about him earlier in the episode. Daniel, overrated or underrated?
I think he's an underrated goalkeeper, to be honest with you. I might offend some Arsenal fans here and say this, but I think he was a better goalie than Leno, and I think that Arsenal made the wrong decision in selling him instead of selling Leno. I know Leno, obviously, he has a great goal in the Premier League, but this guy had something to prove. He's been called up since he began to start games for Arsenal. He got called up to the Argentinian national team. And I think for me, he's underrated as a goalkeeper.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you there, Daniel. He's underrated. I'm not going to agree with you in the sense that they should have sold him. You know, they made a decent money on him. And, you know, you spent a decent price tag on Leno. I think it was around 30 mil for Leno. So you're going to have to go with him. You're going to have to keep Leno in. He's still a young guy. He's younger than Martinez. And I think it was the right decision for Arsenal at the end of the day. Good on Martinez for, you know, playing well for Villa and recording some clean sheets. Happy to see it. I have to say he's underrated. I agree with you there in that sense.
So the second last player we're going to move on to is Richarlison. The striker for Everton. Andrew, how do you feel about him?
Richarlison is a good player. He's a very good player. I did that to a little Brazilian accent there. I think he's a good player. I don't think he's underrated, nor do I think he's overrated. He's consistent. That's what he is. He gets you 12 to 15 goals a season. He's a skillful player. He's versatile, can play out on the wing, can play as a striker. He's still fairly young, you know, and he's been active on the score sheet. Not super active, not enough. So I think he's found that middle ground, and I think it's fair to say that he's not overrated nor underrated.
For me, I'm gonna say he is slightly underrated. He's young talent in the Premier League. Like you said, he's pretty consistent. He puts up 12 to 15 goals a year. He gets a few assists as well. I think he's slightly underrated. I think he can become a fantastic striker, a winger, wherever Everton right now decide to play him, because I know they do like to play him out on the wing because they have Dominic Calvert-Lewin up top. I think he can become something great. I think he's just slightly underrated right now.
We're going to go to number 10, Jack Grealish, the man from Villa. Daniel, overrated or underrated?
I know this might stun a little bit of people, but I think he's a little bit overrated. He is a fantastic player. Don't get me wrong, and he's a big reason as to why Aston Villa is doing well this year. For me, the price tag that he has on him right now, as an English player in the Prem, player that a couple of teams want, Aston Villa want like 80 mil for him right now. For me, that's a very unfair balance that they're putting on him, and I think he is a little bit overrated for me. How do you feel about him?
Yeah, I think his evaluation there and the price tag is too much, man. I know players go for more than usually what they're worth in the transfer market today in today's game, but I don't think Jack's worth that money. I think he's a good player. I think he still has a lot to prove. He's got a great skill. You know, he's shown an ability to score, but he needs to do it more consistently to have that sort of price tag. And I think a lot of people talk about Jack Grealish like he's the next savior of Manchester United, because you know, he's been linked to Manchester United, obviously. And I think in that sense, people build him up too much. And I think he is slightly overrated as well.
So on that note, we're going to move past our brand new segment, Overrated or Underrated. I hope you guys liked it. We're going to move on to just end it off with a Europa League recap. So there was three games played last Thursday, November 5th. We had Tottenham versus Ludogorets, Arsenal versus Molde, and Leicester versus Sporting. All three Premier League teams came out on top. We're just going to discuss quickly the Tottenham-Ludogorets game. There was goals from Kane, Lucas Moura, and Lo Celso. Again, this was a needed win. I know Andrew quickly discussed last week that Tottenham lost to Antwerp, and it was just a very disappointing loss. And so this was definitely a big win for Tottenham over Ludogorets.
Yeah, and then Arsenal, they went against Molde, Football Club. They won that one 4-1. Molde went up early, but Arsenal scored four unanswered goals, four successive goals to, you know, take the 3 points there. And Arsenal have been winning their games quite dominantly so far in the Europa League.
And the last game on Thursday was the Leicester versus Sporting Braga. Leicester had won this one 4-0. There was two goals and an assist from Iheanacho, which you'd like to see. And I like to see Iheanacho play maybe a little bit more in the Premier League. I know they have Vardy. Maybe they can work something out with the both of them playing up top, because I know Iheanacho doesn't get as many minutes. I don't know. I'd like to see Iheanacho play. It was again, like we said, an expected win for Leicester. And hopefully they can continue their form in both the Premier League and Europa League.
You know, I think it's good for Iheanacho to play in the Europa League. I think it's the right stage for him. I think it's the right competition level for him to get his minutes in, to get substantial minutes, to give Vardy a break at times. But I don't think he's good enough for the Premier League to start alongside Vardy. I don't think they want to do that. I think Brendan Rodgers, the manager of Leicester, likes playing Vardy up top alone with wingers on his sides, on the flanks there. So I don't agree with you in that sense, but I agree that, you know, Iheanacho needs some game time. He's a decent player, formerly of Manchester City, Nigerian international. He's still fairly young, not even 25 yet. So I think he could still, you know, improve. He still has room for improvement. And overall, this game surprised me a lot. You know, I'm familiar with Sporting Braga. They play in the Portuguese league alongside my favorite team, Benfica. And I thought Braga would be better. I thought, I didn't think Leicester was going to win this convincingly, even though Leicester is a formidable side to play against in the Europa League. But it was just a wow moment for me, because I thought this would be a closer game and an interesting fixture to watch.
I think that the Premier League teams, they're expected to win game in and game out, especially if you look at their groups. And I think that they definitely need to keep winning. I know maybe the Tottenham versus Antwerp game last week was a one-off for Tottenham because they had an off day. But I think that they just have to continue winning until they start to get better opponents that they come up against, maybe in the knockout round.
That about wraps up our episode 5. Thanks for tuning in, guys. This was a great episode. I really like doing that transfer, or not the transfer, but the quiz, rather, with Daniel. Next week, a look ahead. Daniel will be quizzing me, so Daniel's going to have 10 questions prepared for me. We most likely will do more underrated, overrated players. I really like doing that and talking about it, because I think some players need to be toned back a bit, and I think some players need to get their credit. So yeah, that's a look ahead for next week. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you guys next time. I'm Andrew Mello, and alongside with me, as always, is Daniel Barbudo.
See you guys next week.
Peace.